After 8, just ahead of the morning show with Greg Berg, let's check WGTD Sports and Weather. Major League Baseball, the Brewers beat Arizona 4-2. Cubs were off. The White Sox lost to the Baltimore Orioles 3-2. Tonight, the Brewers host Arizona again. Cubs host Cleveland. The White Sox host the Orioles again. NBA playoffs, Cleveland beat Boston 111-102 in Game 4 of their series. That's all tied up now, 2-2. Golden State and Houston play Game 4 of their series tonight. The Warriors are up 2-1. Now the WGTD Tuesday forecast from the National Weather Service. Cloudy, seasonal temperatures today. Dense fog advisory until 10 a.m. A high of 69, inland cooler near Lake Michigan. Right now, wind from the north-northeast at 5 to gray sky with 47 degrees in Racine, now 51 in Kenosha. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 8:11, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
Support for the morning show comes from UW Parkside. Build a career as a licensed professional counselor and mental health and wellness advocate with the new Master's in Mental Health and Counseling from Parkside. More information available at uwp.edu. Support for WGTD's morning show also comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenoshans who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Mr. Falduto played an essential role in creating WGTD nearly 40 years ago and later served as station manager and occasional morning show co-host. And we welcome you to the Tuesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so it is good timing indeed for us to have back on the morning show our good friend Jack Rose, who recently has been president of the Kenosha County chapter of NAMI, the National Alliance for the Mental Mental Illness. Jack, you were telling me right before you went on the air that you have actually recently stepped away from the presidency after how many years?
It's been quite a few.
Yeah.
Between president and co-president.
Right.
But we have our elections this past February, and we've got two great co-presidents in Lisa Zanin and Janet DeLeo. So we have a fantastic board of directors, and so we march on.
Very good. Well, I know you're remaining very active with NAMI. We can't imagine you doing anything else, and we're glad that you can be here on the eve of a special mental health awareness vigil, which is going to be tomorrow evening down in Civic Center Park, and we'll be talking about that in just a little bit. Ahead of us, talking about some of what NAMI does on behalf of those who contend with mental illness, it probably wouldn't hurt for us to just recap, for the sake of any listeners who aren't aware of it, why this is such an important issue for you. The issue of mental illness has intersected with your life in a very personal way in a couple of different instances. So tell our listeners about that.
Well, my wife and I have two adult children. Our daughter is now 46. Our son is 42. And they have both been affected with mental illness. And so as you go through something like that, NAMI has really been our safety net. And so it's a long journey. Our daughter was hospitalized when she was 16 and went through, and now she's 46, doing extremely well. She's a director of integral yoga at an ashram in Buckingham, Virginia. Hmm. Our son was diagnosed in 1999, actually misdiagnosed, and spent some time with over-medication, too many meds, finally got it correct, and today he lives with depression and takes Zoloft and has a great life going. He's happily married, and we have two beautiful granddaughters, and so that got Sue and I involved. And if you look at, I gave the ages, and when this started, I think in general, everybody must be aware that mental illness is a brain disease, and it has no cure right now, but we have a recovery. And so people can live normal lives through this recovery process. And it's something that kind of goes against the grain of us Americans in that I am sick today, I need a pill, I want to be better tomorrow, and it's just not going to happen with mental illness. So we work along this continuum of recovery. And, you know, when you talk about treatment, it's many different parts. Yes, medication is a part of it. But the whole thing of a diagnosis and then prescribing and getting the right medication is very difficult. And it takes 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks to actually get the effect. And so, as in my son's case, he was misdiagnosed. He was on probably 5 different medications at one time. And again, this was back 1999, 2000. Mm-hmm. So we've come good way since then, and we have made some progress. But that's the medication piece. I think therapy is another extremely important part of dealing with some of the mental illnesses, possibly like PTSD and different types, where therapy is so key. And then I think overall, the wellness of the individual is important because there's so much comorbidity associated with mental illness, the side effects of the different psychotropic drugs. And so if you can really get on a better, healthy regimen with respect to activity and proper diet, this goes a long way. And so we are trying to instill some of this overall wellness as far as part of our programs here in Kenosha. But that's the background. And so Sue and I count our blessings every day for where we are right now and where our children are. And as they say, it's been a long process. One goes back to 1986. The other one goes back to 1999. So.
Right. Long time. I should think that over the course of that period, you've seen some changes. I'm thinking particularly of back in 1986, that probably when you discovered this about your daughter was the one, right?
Right.
Yeah,
that's
back
correct.
In 1986. Yeah. That was not that we are completely open about mental illness now. There's still a stigma attached to it, but I should think that back in 1986, it was even worse, that you probably felt a real sense of isolation and had little, if any, idea of where to turn to get help and how much to talk about this openly with your friends and even family.
Right.
How different was it then versus now, would you say?
To be very honest with you, in 1986, we knew nothing of NAMI. Nothing. That wasn't even on the radar. And so in looking back, our daughter was at that time 30 days. That was the length of stay. And she got through all that. She had also had some problems with alcohol. But got through that, got out, completed high school, went on to Virginia Commonwealth University, got her degree in 3.5 years. She's a graphic designer. And we thought we dodged a bullet. We really did. I mean, we were naive, if you want to call it. We didn't know all the ramifications. You did not have access to the internet. You did not have all the information that we have now. But when our son has had his breakdown, which was right after his sister's wedding in San Francisco, then we got in to NAMI. And we came back, and we were back in Kenosha at the time. Dick and Dee Gunter were very, very helpful in being our safety nets, and that's actually when we got involved with NAMI. Hmm.
The your son Brody was on the morning show not too long ago when he was visiting you, and it was so nice to finally visit Brody after having heard about him on several of your visits to the morning show. And I should think that it is tremendously gratifying for you when you think about how far they've come, that both of your children are doing so well,
yes,
despite having to live with mental illness.
Yes. And I should share with you also, and I think I have in the past, but in 1999, our daughter was also diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, which can have cognitive issues and overall physical and medical issues. And one thing about our daughter is that she has been very holistic. And during her whole journey, she has been holistic. And even with respect to MS, she has not opted for the medication path. She's gone the holistic route. And that has really worked for our daughter. So we're thankful for that. And as I shared with you, our son takes Zoloft, and he'll probably take that for the rest of his life. But that's just the way it is. I would exercise a caution here, though. People, and recently a real good friend had experienced this, but if you are taking prescribed medication for mental illness, you need to be very careful if you start mixing with natural substances because they tend to counteract, and you can really compound and make a complex situation even more complex. So just caution on that as far as mixing the natural with the prescribed.
Hmm. For those of you just joining us, we have with us Jack Rose, who is on the board of directors for the Kenosha County chapter of NAMI, the National Alliance for Mental Illness. And May is Mental Illness Awareness Month. And tomorrow evening there is a mental health awareness vigil that we will be talking about. That's going to be happening at Civic Center Park at 6 o'clock, with a special reception ahead of time beginning at 5. Jack, let's talk about NAMI and the three streams of activity which NAMI focuses on, namely education, support, and advocacy. And I want us to make sure that we finish with advocacy and talk about some of the ways in which the climate has changed in the last couple of years. Let's begin with education. It is so impressive, all of the different things that NAMI has going in terms of not only educating the general public about mental illness, but also focusing its education efforts on specific people in specific jobs who can really make a big difference in interacting more positively with people dealing with mental illness. Tell us first about this thing called Family to Family, which I know is one of the most important programs with NAMI.
Yes, it's really a fantastic program that we have had here for many, many years. And right now we have a tremendous team of people that are out there offering this course. It's to family members, and now through the cooperation of the county, we have two locations. We provide one of the sessions at the job center here in town. Hmm. We provide another one out at the county building on Highway H and Highway 50. But this is a 12-week course, and it's we've been using Tuesdays. It's probably 2.5 hours, 3 hours every Tuesday for 12 weeks. And so those folks that are attending, and it's for family members and friends of those living with mental illness, not the person actually living with the mental illness. And so we try to give the families a better toolkit, and we get more into what mental illness is and some of the treatment, how you cope with it, some of the coping strategies for the family members, some of the do's and don'ts as far as communication, some of the things you should do and shouldn't do. And it's very interesting because as people come into the class, they feel very alone. Mm. And there's the stigma piece of it. And many of these people that go into our supports or go into our family come from our support sessions. And so they see in the support session that there are other people living with this. So now you get to family, and I think last time we completed about 40 people in the two locations. And so by having the two locations, you can have two classes because you don't want to get the class too big, or that takes away from the effectiveness. And so they talk about the advocacy. They talk about resources that are available. And it just gets people more engaged, and it shows them what is available. And then it's interesting because right now you look at our board of directors, and many of the board of directors had been through family to family and starting in the support. So we're growing our network of NAMI folks right here through those different programs. Oh, and it's been very, very effective. And this for 2019, we'll be starting both sessions on January 7th, both in the county and here in town. And again, they go from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Every night. Okay.
And it sounds like a lot is going on, and making some real strides there. I know that one of the things that you especially appreciate is the cooperation of Gateway Technical College when it comes to some of the professional training programs that NAMI helps to supply. Talk for a moment about the connection between NAMI and Gateway and what kind of a support that they have been for you.
Sure will, and it's been fantastic. NAMI has a contract with Gateway for our crisis intervention team training, which is a 5-day course for law enforcement, and also our crisis intervention partner training, which is a 2-day course with law enforcement. We've been doing this at Gateway since 2010. Mm. We use the facility over in the Kennel Training Center, and we go through generally having a crisis intervention partner training in February. We have our crisis intervention team training in May. In fact, we just had our CIT course last week, and we completed another 21 law enforcement and jail staff. So now we have a total of 237 that have gone through this program. Then we have our second crisis intervention partner training coming up in November. And so to date, with our crisis intervention partner training, we've trained 815 people since 2010. This is a two-day course. We have some of the same keynote speakers from the CIT. We have Dr. David Mays, Dr. Arlene Abrams, Dr. Mays, former director at Mendota, and Dr. Abrams is a psychology supervisor at the Milwaukee Secure Detention Facility. So the people that come to the two-day class get the same featured speakers. And then we get into programs of resources that are available. We talk about stigma. We talk about how people should be aware of each other, especially with the suicide situation. Mm. Look out after your colleagues. And this goes for both the law enforcement, the jail staff, as well as the crisis intervention partner. And at two-day course, we get the dispatchers, the ER staff, the social workers, the maintenance people, and it's open to anybody. We get moms and dads if they want to come to it. It's 2 days, and like all our programs, there is no charge, and the facilities here at Gateway are fantastic. And so we just hope to continue that relationship. Because I think many of the things that we do with respect to mental health in Kenosha is truly a collaborative effort. You know, you're dealing with Kenosha Human Services, Kenosha Human Development Services. You're dealing with the different agencies in town. The police department, the sheriff's department have been very supportive. The officers and deputies that have been through the program have received many, many unsolicited kudos because they have a toolkit that's better able to handle people with mental illness and crisis. Mm. And one more point on the family to family. I think as a family goes through this, when you have a child that is diagnosed or is having issues or things dealing with mental illness, many times the parents need as much help as their children, because it's all about awareness, and if the people don't know about the awareness, they need to be educated on it as well.
Mm, for sure. It's interesting to think about how just through the course of just sort of standard training, for instance, for police officers, that there wouldn't be a little more attention given to this kind of thing. And one hopes that over the course of time that it will start to become something that is part and parcel of a police officer's standard training. I mean, it sounds like we are waking up to this reality, starting to realize that this is something that police officers and others are going to confront again and again and again. And if they don't know sort of the particular issues that are often involved with someone who's having a mental illness awareness episode, then they're likely to maybe not respond in a way that's appropriate or helpful.
Right, and I think that this is the goal out there ahead of us, and we will continue to strive for that. And I think right now both Chief Miskinis, Chief Morrissey prior to him, Sheriff Beth, they have all been very supportive. And if we could get that inclusion in there, in the academy, I mean, it would be great. So we continue to work on it in the interim. We will continue with CIT. And one thing I'd also like to mention here, too, and that we're getting more of the jail staff, both in the two-day course and the five-day course. And they are facing the mental health issues, crisis situations, on a day-to-day basis as more and more of the people that are incarcerated have a mental illness. I think we are fortunate in Kenosha County to have a treatment court that deals with people with both drug and alcohol problems, substance abuse, as well as mental health, behavioral health issues. So that's a positive. We also have a mental health jail diversion program, and I think we have about 25 candidates in that program right now. But here you identify somebody with a mental illness as they are arrested for a misdemeanor. Mm. So you get them on the front end. You know, they don't have to wait for a felony. They don't have to be in the into the court system to get help. But I think both of those have been very beneficial to Kenosha County, and we will continue to do that. But again, on the jail staff, they need support in this area as well. And one little thing that we did last year, we went ahead and we got a portion of the jail staff in service. And we've done a little bit of this with the police in service, with CIT. But anyhow, last year with the jail staff, and we got 2 hours in their long in-service training. And so what we did is we provided the jail staff, one session every 12 weeks, different people, with our voices presentation. Voices presentation is you plug somebody into an MP3 player, and it replicates folks living with voices from mental illness. And so once they're plugged in, you give them a series of very basic, rudimentary tests, applications, do physical activities, and just see how they respond to that. And many times when we do this, it makes them believers that, you know, somebody's not just blowing smoke here. There, something's really going on. They're right. Really not trying to tick me off. But if you, you know, really go at somebody with a lot of questions, what's this, what's that, how old, dot, 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 dot. After Q1, it's gone. And they're not doing it just to tick you off. It's just, and it gives them a better way to try to manage it.
Sure, and helps you understand, helps you to put yourself in their shoes, and you understand kind of what they're contending with. Very good. I know that in addition to your Ending the Silence program, which takes you into the high schools of Kenosha, you also have this program that I think we've already briefly talked about called In Our Own Voice, in which you have actually people contending with mental illness going out into the community and speaking. And what a great idea.
Oh, it's fantastic. It is, as I said, it's one of the biggest stigma busters right now. But you have people living with mental illness that go out and they talk about their dark days, and they talk about their acceptance and treatment, coping strategies, and their hopes and their dreams. And it's somebody living with it. And so right now I think we've got 7 certified In Our Own Voice presenters. And so far here in 2018, we've given 12 presentations and to over about 300 people. And if I may go back just for 1 minute, when you talk about the CIT team and the Crisis Intervention Partner team and Ending the Silence, what we are trying to do is develop a circle of care here in the community where you have the law enforcement in the center as first responders, then you have the Crisis Intervention Partner folks around that, and then we're planting the seeds in our youth with our Ending the Silence. And that circle of care will continue to grow.
Very good. I want to make sure that you have a chance to tell us briefly about a couple of other programs that acknowledge the undeniable connection between physical well-being, physical health, physical fitness, and mental health, and the fact that first of all, often when somebody has mental illness, one of the things that tends to fall apart is their own physical well-being. I remember your son Brody talking about that. He was a track star,
right. But
when he had his bout of mental illness, his mental breakdown, that's one of the things that just kind of went away from his life was the physical fitness that had always been part of him, and that can very much contribute to the downward spiral. So NAMI has a couple of different programs that are designed to, in a sense, help encourage people with mental illness to think about their own physical health, because that can really be an aid to them making a recovery.
Extremely important. And people may not realize, but somebody with a mental illness has a life expectancy that's 25 years shorter. So whatever you can do to for your overall wellness, it's positive. As David Mays says, what's good for the heart is good for the brain. And so we have a walkabout rewards program that started a few years back where people go 30 sessions of walking. It's documented. They keep a log. Then they go out to Rogan's, Chuck Gustafson, a real advocate and supporter, fits him with a pair of shoes and actually fits him. You know, some people are big, some people are small, yeah. But he fits them. They come out.
And really good shoes.
And good shoes, yes. And then Nami Kenosha pays for the shoes. And so far, I think we've got over 105, 110 pair of shoes that we've purchased. Another program that has worked exceptionally well, Brad Kramlett has really, one of our board members, has really driven a train on this one. And that's our Nami YMCA wellness program. It started out with a caseworker and six of his clients. They went out to the Y. They all stayed together in mass. Maybe they shot hoops. Maybe they walked. Maybe they swam. Whatever. Today, we have over 400 people in that program. There's a list at the Y that's vetted on a monthly basis by Brad. People sign in. It's right on a bus route, so it aids in their recovery and independence, and that too has just really, really worked well. So we appreciate, again, the collaboration, the work with the YMCA, because they have been extremely supportive in this program. Mm.
We're speaking with Jack Rose from the Kenosha County Chapter of NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. May is Mental Illness Awareness Month, and they have a mental health awareness vigil tomorrow evening that we'll talk about before we finish up. You, of course, are in the business of supporting people who are suffering from mental illness, and you have several different programs that I know make a huge difference in the lives of people who are mentally ill.
Right. We hold support programs for adults living with a mental illness, for family and friends, and for adolescents at St. Paul's Lutheran Church. We pay a rental fee. It's not really associated with the church, but on the second and fourth Thursday of every month, we go there, and it starts at 6, and it goes from 6 to 7:30. We've been very fortunate with the adolescent group that we have, Kate Bullard from Rogers, who is our facilitator for the adolescent group. And that has really, really worked out well. We also have a support meeting for family and friends out at the County Center building. And you can check our website for that. We're trying to work the one out in the county, and we've been changing the times a little bit. Janet DeLeo has just been doing an outstanding job, just trying to get the right fit. And again, the county provides the conference room. And then we have a Connections, which is our support group for adults, and that's also provided at Bridges Community Center. So we're expanding that, and here we just did a pilot program out at UW Parkside, and they have a group out there, Active Minds, and so we've had about, I think, three sessions with some of the students out there using our support facilitators that have gone out there. In fact, I think they're having a recap meeting today out at Parkside, but we hope to continue that. We really do.
Very good.
And you had mentioned the program out at Parkside, the nursing program at Carthage. We've been to Carthage as well, and we're trying to provide support for that.
Excellent. Finally, advocacy, which is so important. And in some respects, I'm sure that's maybe the hardest of what you're doing, because in the case of advocating on behalf of these issues, it often is a matter of trying to persuade people who do not understand the severity of this. It's about knocking on a lot of doors and trying to build connections and sort of beat the drum for this cause. What has your own personal experience been when it comes to this matter of advocacy on behalf of issues of mental illness? And where have the greatest strides been made, and what are you most frustrated about in terms of the things where great strides still need to be made?
Well, I think I think what we can do here in the community. I mean, there are different levels of advocacy. There are levels at the federal level. There are advocacy at the state level. Having been on the NAMI Wisconsin board, I've participated a little bit in the, on the state level and the advocacy and the federal level. But right here locally, we can do a lot of stuff. I really believe it. And I think if we get people to work together, I think one of the biggest steps that we have made here in a community over the last couple of years is making this transition from our care center, our Kenosha Adult Residential Emergency, that has gone from an 11-bed facility that was housed in a two-story building down on 6th Avenue, 60th Street and 5th Avenue, was built in about 1863, and now over this past year, in fact, the ribbon cutting was in February, and it's up and operational now, but moving that facility to the new Crisis Prevention Center, which is in the old Gateway Mortgage building on 60th Street. So now you've gone from a two-story 1863 building to a more modern building, 10,000 square feet, better site levels, all on one level, and they've cooperated, or they have combined the care center with a crisis prevention center. And so this has provided a facility where people coming into the care center will come in their own entrance, and then you have the crisis center in the front where law enforcement can come with folks that are in extremis, and they can be treated right there at the crisis center. And they take care of both adult and juvenile crisis at that one spot. So I think that, that's been a real plus. And we will continue to push. I mean, right now, the issue of, let's call it a medical secured stabilization unit. Not everybody can be handled at the care center. More and more people are. And you're keeping them here in the community, and you're providing a great amount of care has been, and this has been substantiated in a test that was run at the end of last year. But you still have people that may need that next step. We got to work on that. Got to work on that.
Where are we in terms of insurance? When people are suffering from mental illness, if they have insurance, how likely is it that their insurance will cover matters related to mental illness? I know that once upon a time, that was a really serious deficiency.
It still is. It still is. I mean, whether or not you have the insurance and whether you're relying on Medicaid or Medicare, and this whole transition that we're going through now with the insurance. But many providers, you become very selective in what insurance that they accept. That's why it's so important, I believe, in our community, if we can get the Kenosha Community Health Center back up. And they're having some difficulties right now, but there is a behavior health, medical, dental, that is a unit that could be available here in our community that gets better reimbursement. They get the Medicaid. They get the Medicare. They can handle it because it's a federal organization. And I think that that's key, and that's another area that we need to work on. I think on the positive side with respect to Medicaid, about three years ago now, I guess, they regionalized our comprehensive community services. This is part of our treatment program under Kenosha Human Development Services. And in this regionalization, it allows children to get help who are living with a mental illness. And so this has been fantastic, fantastic as far as the treatment. Now, we're still working on, you know, if you'd need a residential site for children. But again, it's a work in progress. But I think here locally we are making some progress. But insurance is important, and some providers will only take cash.
One of the things I wanted to be sure to ask you about is the fact that there has been a lot of discussion about mental illness on the national scene, at the national level, in the wake of some of these school shootings. And I am guessing that, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm guessing that you and others with NAMI probably have kind of mixed feelings about that. That on the one hand, anything that gets the general public talking about mental illness is probably a positive. And particularly if any kind of discussion gets us talking about what needs to be done on behalf of the mentally ill, that's significant and that's probably largely positive. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, to have this conversation taking place within the framework of these violent acts, and I suppose then that you probably feel some regret that this conversation is colored by that, and that it also tends to get maybe too much of the public thinking about the mentally ill mm-hmm. as potentially violent individuals and so on. That must be a really, I should think, kind of awkward and difficult situation.
Well, it is. I mean, it's a reality, though. And I'll still stick with the comment that generally people living with a mental illness are the victims. But we have had more than our fair share of situations where an individual with a mental illness, you want to call it slip through the cracks. You look at some of the reporting on the histories of some of these most recent individuals. And we got to do better than that. And many times, I think it's also important that we see it every day. Children and adults and people with a mental illness, not everybody wants to accept the treatment that's provided. That's just the way it is. And some do, some don't. But if you look at mental illness, and it touches about 1 in 4 of us, and right now maybe 4 in 10 have access to the requisite treatment, and this is just, it's tragic. And you know, thoughts and prayers go out to the families, to the loved ones of folks that are going through this. And I don't know. We need to do a better job, and we need to do a better job with respect to the availability of treatment for individuals. Not only the initial treatment if somebody has a breakdown, or many like the opioid crisis that's going on right now, and like all the work of the opioid task force, and how they're working out, and the Vivitrol and the other medications, but still. You need a follow-on to that treatment. You need a follow-on just like you do with mental illness. So we got our work cut out for us, Greg. We really do.
Do you feel largely optimistic? I mean, what's sort of your state of confidence at the moment?
You got to stay half full. You got to keep the faith. I mean, we'll get through this. And I think with all the media blows this up. As I said, the access to information is positive with respect to getting information about mental illness. But also when you get these tragic events, everybody sees it day after day after day. Same thing. And so I hope that we can get the requisite providers to help the people that do it and try to work with the people that have the mental illness to be more accepting, and sometimes that's extremely difficult. But
right.
You got to keep the faith.
Absolutely. So tell us about the Mental Health Awareness Vigil that is going to be occurring tomorrow. So that's Wednesday, the 23rd of May, the vigil at Civic Center Park in downtown Kenosha. You've been doing this for a few years now.
Yes, we have. And it's been a great event. I don't know, I think last year we had about 80, 85 people come out. But it's just a chance to recognize the people that celebrate, you know, here in a community, live with a mental illness, family and friends, come on out, and to show support for these folks and show that we're with them. A big thing, mental illness, you do not have to go through this alone. And I don't care if you're a parent or a child or a brother, a sister, whatever. You don't have to go through this alone. So that helps there. It tries to bring it to the forefront. We'll have a nice reception at Bridges Community Center at 5 p.m., and then we'll walk over to the park. It starts about 6, and we're going to have a couple new features this year, too. We have the Wilson Elementary 5th Grade School Choir that's going to do some songs for us. They're going to do Just One Candle at the beginning, and we'll have an invocation by Jane Davis. We have a Kenosha County proclamation this year. It will be given by John Jansen, the Director of Human Services. We have some awards to be given out, and the David Wagner Mental Health Advocacy Award will be going to Carrie Foss from Kenosha Human Development Services. The Community Service Award will be going to Jane Newty from the CARE Center, and our Exceptional Volunteer Award will go to David Honstein from Bridges Community Center. And our featured speaker this year is going to be Tiffany Kaneko. Tiffany was the 2016 Mrs. Wisconsin.
Oh.
And her platform at that time was postpartum depression. And so she has since become a volunteer for NAMI Kenosha. She has helped us out. She's also one of our In Her Own Voice presenters. So she'll be the main speaker. Then we'll have the Wilson Elementary Choir. Last song is Lean on Me. We'll have a moment of silence, and that'll be it. And it sounds like the weather's going to be good. I don't know.
It
We're keeping our fingers crossed because we've had our fair share of clouds and rain.
Yeah, no, it looks like a gorgeous day tomorrow and just perfect for this vigil. If people are interested somehow in supporting NAMI, and I assume that there are ways in which people can support what you do.
Right.
What would you suggest they do?
For starters, I would I would have them call 262-605-9038, and that will get you plugged into the system. I would also recommend for all your listeners to please check us out on namikenosha.org. We have an excellent website, and there's a great deal of information there. You can see some of the different programs that you have. Probably our next volunteer session will be July 20th, 21st, and 22nd, which is our annual fundraiser kickoff at Tenuta's Delicatessen. So give us a call, and there's plenty of things to do out there.
Okay. Very good. Well, Jack Rose, we certainly appreciate all the hard work that you have done and continue and will continue to do on behalf of this really important issue. And even as you step away from the presidency of NAMI, we know that this is going to continue to be the heart and soul of so much of what you do. And I appreciate you joining us again today on the morning show to speak on behalf of this really, really important issue. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much, Greg, and we have a great team that's getting it done at NAMI Kenosha County. A great team. Thank you.
Very good. Good to have you here. The time is 8:58 here on WGTD. Tomorrow on the morning show, I'll be speaking with Pulitzer Prize-winning historian and author John Meacham about his newest book, called The Soul of America. And from the archives where we play my conversation with him about his wonderful biography of Thomas Jefferson, John Meacham comes to the campus of Carthage College this Saturday, May 26th, for a special public event in Siebert Chapel at 2 o'clock. I'll be emceeing that event, and it's an opportunity to meet John Meacham, to hear from him personally.